Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all the traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours, welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to open up the show with Aniwilma reading. It's only make-believe. Do enjoy.
It's only make-believe. If you don't show me that you love me all of the time you are near to me, it's clear to me.
Welcome, Black and Mob, to your daily program, National Talk Black. And this is a one-hour program coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station in Cairns, Yidinji country. And Yana with Baldwin here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, taking right up to 12 noon Queensland time. So that number, if you want to have your say, 1-800-422-416, give me a call, have your say, and yarn up strong. Now, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Associate Professor Andre Schultz, Program Head of Respiratory Health and Head of the Breath Team at Telecon Kids Institute. And the title here is Little One Got Wet, wet Cough Long Time. September marks the three-month milestone of an intensive health promotion campaign in the East Kimberley region, which aims to raise awareness of the dangers of chronic wet cough in Aboriginal children. Researchers from the Walyan Respiratory Research Centre and the Kulunga Aboriginal Unit at the Telethon Kids Institute have partnered with Kimberley Aboriginal Medical Services, Yurayungi Aboriginal Medical Services, Aboriginal families and clinicians in the East Kimberley to improve the lung health of Aboriginal children. We're going to catch up a yarn with Associate Professor Andre Schultz, Program Head of Respiratory Health and Head of the Breath Team at Telethon Kids Institute. On the line, Professor Andre, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Grant. Well, thank you. Thanks for yawning with me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important space you're working in. We're talking about, the title here, Little One Got Wet Cough Long Time. So explain the situation and the program as such and a three-month milestone with the Intensive Health Promotion Campaign, please.
Well, okay, so if a child has a wet-sounding cough for more than 4 weeks, it can be a sign of underlying infection. Mm. And if it is underlying infection and we don't treat it, it can lead to irreversible, permanent damage that the child will have for the rest of their lives. So, on the other hand, if we can diagnose it early and manage it, we can stop it from progressing to something permanent. So, we believe the burden of chronic lung disease in Aboriginal adults can be reduced if early lung disease is managed effectively in children. So,
are we saying hereditary? It passes on to children from adults?
No. Children get the infection, and if it's not treated, it slowly creeps up and continues and eats away and causes permanent damage that the child then carries on into adulthood.
Okay, and what disease pass on? We're talking lung disease, are we?
Yes, so it's lung disease, and it's the term is bronchiectasis, which is basically holes in the lungs caused by infection that's not treated.
Mm. Is this only known with First Nation children?
No, it's not anyone can get it. It's just for some reason First Nation children are getting more of it.
Okay.
And that's why we realise we've got to do something about it and find the young ones and help them before it becomes a lifelong problem.
And what's the cause of it, Professor?
It's an infection. It's a low-grade infection in the lungs.
Okay.
Because it's low-grade, it just kind of goes under the radar, and it's just a wet cough, and a child can otherwise look totally healthy.
Where would they pick up the cough from, Professor?
It often starts with a cold, and that causes a weakness in the immune system, and then there's a bacterial infection on top of that.
Okay.
And it's these kind of infections that you just get in the environment. The thing is, if it can just present as a wet cough, nothing else, the dog's not healthy. And so don't always know they should seek help for it.
And the wet cough continues? Is it an ongoing thing?
Yeah.
Is it symptoms?
It goes on, but the child looks healthy, and, you know, parents don't know they should seek help for it, and
yes,
doctors often don't know they should treat it. So that's why we worked in partnership with local communities and the local Aboriginal health services,
yes,
and worked out solutions to address this problem. Mm. And the first is what we've learned is if families are given the right information in the right way, they will seek help for their children.
Well, exactly.
So we've worked with communities to work out how do they want the message to be conveyed, by what means, how should it sound, what should it look like, what imagery should we use. We developed flip charts and advertisements and, you know, radio ads. And we also work with local, with health promotion officers at the Kimberley Aboriginal Medical Service and local navigators to just use word of mouth to get the message across to families. And then we also worked with health services to improve how they pick up and manage wet cough if they find it in children.
Yes. And what are the, is there medication thereafter if we find that a child has wet cough?
Yes. The first thing is for their families to seek help if a child has a wet cough for 4 weeks or more.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is for the doctors and nurses just to do a few checks to make sure it's nothing else.
Yes.
And if it's nothing else, the treatment is antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just for a short time. It's usually 2 to 4 weeks of antibiotics, which is a bit unusual.
Mm.
So if we find families need to know what they're treating and why they, you know, have to give this for their children,
yes,
so that they, you know, they need to understand the disease. They need to be given the right information so that they can treat their children well.
So it is a team effort in that sense, isn't it? And when we're talking about our deadly parents, but we're also talking about the medical staff, especially Aboriginal medical services. But just be aware of it all. It takes a community to raise a child, does it not?
It's absolutely a community. And, you know, we're all in this together. We all want healthy children.
Yes, yes.
And we need to work together as health providers, as families, parents, to help the little ones grow up healthy.
Mm, yeah, fantastic. And so September marks a 3-month milestone of the Intensive Health Promotion Campaign. So you would have got, when you focus on something, you can then find solutions or actions for prevention, yes?
Yes. So we had an intensive 3-month health promotion campaign, but before that, we had yarns with hundreds of community members and healthcare staff to work out what the best way is to get the message across. Because again, if families are given the right information,
yes,
in the right way, they will do what they need to do to help their kids.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, congratulations and thank you for communicating with us. And look, it's about looking after our young ones who are our future and keeping our young ones strong in regard to their future. Thank you for the yarn, Professor, and all the best to you. And big shout out to your deadly team there.
Thank you very much for talking with me.
You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Deadly yarn there. That's Associate Professor Andre Schultz. He's a program head of respiratory health, that is, and head of the breath team at Telethon Kids Institute. So little one got wet cough long time. So that's the program. And it was September and marks the 3-month milestone of the Intensive Health Promotion Campaign in regard to wet cough. So it's about looking after our young ones, get your regular checks up from young ones, and it's a holistic approach in regard to checkups. And if they find out there is a bit of a cough there going on, then you can attack it earlier. That's what it's all about. Have you saying, Jan Armstrong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Thank you. Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Here's the number you need to call. Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrib Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Is Ready to Service. Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Uncle Mimura. He lives at Gingin and concerned about a proposed sale of land. Who won't release reports as on the property, a mining site. Uncle says there's been damage and destruction caused to burial site. This story has been covered by local media, but we'll have a talk. Uncle, you there? Good morning.
Good morning, then. How are you?
I'm good. Before we start, Uncle, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Well, actually, I'm not from, this is not my mother's country here. I'm down here in Gingin. I lived down here many years, but I come from the territory.
Okay.
But still, so what my story is that there's been an ongoing problem. There's been mining on part of the site, and he wants to extend the mine and sell it for a major amount of money, $3 million. He's asking.
Is traditional owners at the table with the conversation?
Pardon?
Is traditional owners at the table in this conversation?
They have tried to be involved in the discussion, but in the Bundaberg Today newspaper of last week, they have there's a major three-page article saying that the people have been held out of the discussions, and the council were required to vote on the extension application, and the approval was given on a delegation because all the councillors, it said here, exited the vote because of they perceived conflicts of interest, and a quorum couldn't be met to by the councillors because they had all excused themselves on a conflict of interest, and therefore the CEO Stephen Johnson. He then, by delegation, then approved the application. Now, the people who have been involved, the traditional owners, they don't understand too much about the law, et cetera, and how to put caveats over properties, et cetera, et cetera. So Councillor Honour is refusing he claims to have spent $50,000 on a on some to get evaluations made on the sites on the site, but he refuses to release, and he says, "I don't see there's a requirement for me to provide the cultural heritage reports. I paid $50,000 to have two reports done. I own those reports. My lawyer has all of that, and I don't feel a need that anybody else should have that information." So,
who did the reports come from, Uncle Miyamura?
The nature of the person, the nature of the whole issue, and what is required by the traditional people is that they are given these reports. Council Honour says he has extensive reports, about 30 pages. I don't think 30 pages is really an extensive report myself, but anyway, we have two reports done to make sure everything was right. Now, we know that Council Honour is in negotiation for the sale of these properties and desperately wants these things approved. Now, what I'm saying, as somebody, this is not my mother's country, or I'm not a traditional owner, but I am part of the country.
Sure.
And I will be required to vote, along with everybody else, on Anthony Albanese's voice to Parliament, to the Constitution.
Well, yes.
If we are seeing things like this right up till the date, almost the date of this this referendum, if we are going to see these things happening in local government, and local government, the mayor and Jack Dempsey, who used to be the police minister in the government in Queensland, he's the mayor of Bundaberg. If we're going to see people of his ilk denying people even the right of access to reports, how yes. would ever there be anything of value come out of Anthony Albanese's voice to Parliament, or the culture, or the change to the Constitution, when they can't even allow a report on what is traditionally owners? Now, we know that the governments have been brought to book for the treatment of military people because of the stress and post-traumatic stress that they've been caused in their work. Now, what we say is that this whole thing is, what about the stress that's caused to people who are custodians of land, who can't get reports?
Exactly.
And what is the mental health issues that are being created here with traditional people who have been... we know the history. We know that this area here, in discussions with Wayne Honour over years, he has admitted and told me about the shame that he has had, that his family were involved in massacres throughout this area.
Yep.
And massacres at Goodnight Scrub, where people were driven over cliffs and babies were thrown away.
Yep,
one
exactly.
One baby was brought up as a slave at near Mount Perry. Spent all his life with a family as a slave. Now, how is it that these people who occupy this land cannot even give one report over?
Well, exactly.
And it comes back down to the denaria, the money that they wish to make out of these things.
Yeah, but traditional land should be at the table.
One man told me recently, who works with Gadigal, that he has cited photographs that show a burial mound on this property in question, the mountain. A burial mound that shows in an old photograph the burial mound with somebody there, and then new photographs where the burial mound has been bulldozed. Now, if the Queen of England's company, Rio Tinto, can blow up a traditional site in the Northern Territory, and if the Queen of England, who has made She's dead now, but her family will inherit all the wealth she's made from the diamond mines and whatever she's been involved in.
Yes.
Are we ever going to see any light at this horrible tunnel?
Yeah, exactly.
I ask you, people, from right throughout, when will we see honesty, integrity, truth? In the reports given here, the traditional owners say they ask questions of this council. Where are the cultural heritage reports? The cultural heritage reports apparently go back to 2013. Nobody can access these things.
Yeah.
How was there ever going to be any real honesty and integrity? We know that Indians are the biggest migratory people into the country, into this country. The Chinese have a big migration people here. All the other countries of the world are living here. When this Anthony Albanese referendum takes place, all these people are going to vote as to whether the traditional First Nation people have a right.
Yeah, exactly.
What sort of a country do we live in?
21st century, exactly. Things don't change if things don't change.
Hello?
Yeah. That's I'm trying to get him back. That's Uncle Miyamura. He lives in Gingin and is concerned about the proposed sale of land. As he states, he's not a traditional owner of the land there. But the so-called report that has come forth has not been released to the constituents, especially First Nation people, traditional owners, regarding the mining site that's happening down there at Gingin. And they've got a renewal or extension of mining, but it feels that the traditional owners, statement is on falling on deaf ears. We'll try and get Uncle Miyamura back online and continue that yarn. But yeah, he's concerned and he does ask the question. Have you saying yarn up strong? Had the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. I think I got Uncle Miyamura on the line. Try again. Uncle Miyamura, you there? Hello?
Hello, then.
Yeah, got you. Yeah, sorry. So I'm picking up what you're putting down. It seems like falling on deaf ears regarding First Nation people, traditional owners, are not at the table in regard to this a proposed sale of land for continuing mining on country.
That's correct, yes.
So do the traditional owners have lawyers in place? Do they have a voice that can put them at the table?
No, they don't seem to have anything. I'm not. I had a bit to do with Auntie before she died. But Auntie Gwen Munro before she was deceased. But talking to people generally, they don't understand how I suggested that they place a caveat over the property to hold it in, but they don't understand how to do that. They seem to be a bit confused, but...
Sure, yeah.
Like so many of us, the legalism and the law is held against us, and I don't know how much of what I said you received, but...
Now, I picked up everything that you said. You couldn't hear me, that's all. But there's some wrongdoing going on here. When you don't have First Nation people at the table, of course there's some wrongdoing going on.
So this is why I decided that it would be in... Well, I cannot sit back and do nothing.
Exactly.
And what I'm calling out for the people to do is to... I spoke to the people at Cherbourg, and they are people who were taken into Cherbourg off their lands, and some of those people would be... This would be their land. This would be their mother's country. Many of these people wouldn't know that this is their mother's country because they've lost their
heritage.
Yeah,
of course, Yes.
And this is what first... the places I came from Minjalang.
But across this country, Uncle Miyamura, any decision that's made, especially in regard to mining, you've got to have all people at the table. I'm talking Greens, I'm talking business owners, talking government, I'm talking First Nation people. It is part of the process, but First Nation people seem to not be at the table, and that's not good.
Well, I think it's far worse than not good. I think it's...
Yeah, of course.
If you're living under these conditions in Bulgaria or something, perhaps you could say, well, this is, we're in a communist country.
Mm.
But when you are living in Australia and people... A friend of mine is a... He lives at Childers and his partner is Caucasian and they've only been together a short time.
Mm.
And she said to me, I can't believe that people treat Alan the way they do.
Mm. Yep.
And Alan said, this has happened to me all my life. He said to her, I don't know why you're so astounded, because he said, this is how we are treated right throughout.
Sure.
But if we are going to have, just to have a basic assessment of this, if Anthony Albanese is going to do this this thing, that we're going to have this referendum, and all these different people are going to be making decisions.
Exactly, with black people not at the table. I can probably highly recommend having a chat to Marawa Law. They're on their programs regularly. They may be able to help you. I've got to move on to my next guest, but Marawa Law, try and get in touch with them, Uncle Miyamura, and thank you very much for your yarn. That's Uncle Miyamura. He lives in Gingin and concerned about the proposed sale of land. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the ball around here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country as BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the News National News Radio Service. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Chris Morita, Gurugan Land and Sea Rangers, and talking about taking First Nations people message to the UN climate change. On the line, Brother Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. How are you? I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, bro.
Yep, so my name is Chris Morita. So I am a traditional Gidamay man. Mm. I'm based in Cardwell. Yes. My country extends from the Murray River down to the top of the Cardwell Range and some of the back country towards Blanco.
All right, beautiful, beautiful footprint. So we're talking about taking First Nation people message to the UN climate change. Climate change is real. When you look at what's happening on planet Earth with the weather, for example, and the so-called storms and floods and heat and drought, and something's going on with Mother Nature, yes?
Yes, yes, it is. Yes, it is, Trev. And it's very important that the government now starts listening to Indigenous people in regards to climate change.
Yep, exactly. So you're going to take First Nation message to the UN climate change. Tell us your process and what's happening, who's at the table, and tell us your movement forward there, please, brother.
Yeah, so we had an inaugural First Peoples Ocean Forum for Oceania held in Mission Beach just last Saturday. And we had delegates from Fiji, Solomon Islands, and guest speakers from New Zealand and Papua New Guinea speaking in regards to...
It's a lot of First Nation people from across the globe, brother.
Yeah, a lot of First Nations people. So we're trying to send a powerful message to the government that, you know, we need to be included in discussions and in regards to...
I'm losing you there, brother, sorry.
Yeah, so we're trying to get a powerful message across to the governments everywhere that First Nations people, you know, must be included in, you know, climate change decision.
Yes. And that's all conversations, you know, and all First Nation people across the globe. We are talking about planet Earth, and we as First Nation people, we do exist.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, our decisions and our traditional knowledge in regards to our country, you know, across the whole Oceania, needs to be, our voices need to be listened and heard now, because it's really starting to affect, you know, Indigenous people everywhere.
Exactly. So tell us how that conference went down there at Mission Beach. Very strong words and messages and information put across the table?
Yeah, so the World Wildlife Fund, or WWF, helped support Gerrigan in regards to hosting the forum.
Yes.
And, you know, we had speakers across from the Pacific and even traditional owners from our own country here talking about the changes that they've seen and changes that, that's happening at the moment in regards to climate change.
Yes.
And how our voice can be heard and really put forward that, you know, we are seeing these firsthand on our country and we need to start being heard.
And in regard to government, anyone from government was at the conference?
No, it was mainly just all the Indigenous voices from across the Pacific.
Sure.
So, yes, yeah, so we sort of wanted to get our voice heard first amongst our own selves and then get that message out.
So do you then organise a joint piece of paper from that conference that goes to so-called government?
Yeah, so from this forum, paper or discussion will be sent to the United Nations.
Okay.
In regards to climate change.
Mm.
So in November, there is a meeting being held in Egypt. COPs meeting.
Yes.
And the discussions that we've held in at Mission Beach are going to be put forward.
Yes.
By WWF on our behalf.
Beautiful. Well, it's strong conversation need to be had, and you know, that's beginning. Yeah, that's a start. You know, and we need to continually do this across the globe. First Nation people need to have these meetings and take that information, put it on so-called paper in regards to handing on to the authorities as such, so your voices can be heard. Our voices can be heard, brother.
Yes, that's right, because, you know, climate change, the talk about it now has, you know, gone away from control. Now it's about climate change and climate adaptation.
Brother, and Brother Chris, when you look at it, they got so-called millions of dollars they're investing into so-called astronauts and scientists to fly into checking out other planets to see if there's life there for, like, Plan B. Worry about Plan A. This is it. This, you look at Mother Earth first.
That's right. And you need to have a look at your own planet first.
Exactly.
Before you can go searching anywhere else. Look what happened on your own, you know, your own planet, your own country, your own land.
Exactly.
Things are changing so drastically that, you know, and you need to start listening to Indigenous people.
Yeah.
Because we are the carriers of the land.
Yes.
Our people have been here for thousands of years. You know, our knowledge needs to be valued as much as, you know, scientists and all your academics.
Exactly. Brother, I'd love to get a copy of the piece of paper that the conversation that went ahead at Mission Beach, and love to share it with our listeners here. So if you can be in touch with us that way, that'd be deadly. We can use this vehicle as another voice to the conversation, brother.
Yeah, certainly, Trev. So, yeah, if I can get that to you and you can spread it out, it'd be more than helpful. You know, the more voices we got,
exactly,
the stronger we can, you know, stronger voice we have.
Brother Chris, love your work. Thank you very much for the yarn. Please do keep in touch. Big shout-out to the mob there. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, brother.
You too, Trev. Take care.
See you, bro. Bye-bye. There is Deadly Yarn there, Chris and Murriata, a Gurugan Land and Sea Ranger, and talking about taking First Nation people's message to the UN climate change. As he stated, there was a meeting at Mission Beach just a couple of weeks ago, and conversations with First Nation people from PNG, from Fiji, across the Pacific Islands, and plus the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander mix as well. And then they've got a piece of paper that they're going to put forward to UN as a First Nation message to the UN climate change. So fantastic. And he's going to find that piece of paper and hand it over to us so we can read it out and let them know what the discussion was. Have your say, Yanup Strong here. Add the conversation. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
What'd you Get on your mob, it's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program, Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We'll have to stop that. And that's the name of the song there with Yothi Indi. Yothi Indi called Stop That. So I had to stop that song because I got Trevor Peckham on the line. My brother, Trevor Peckham, good morning. How are you?
Dear in order to all the families.
Yes.
I'm having a blessed day, family.
Good, brother. Good.
My curry is outstanding and the smiles are brilliant.
Yes. Let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, Trevor Peckham?
I'm here. I landed in Yirrindji country where Cairns are, my home base.
Yes.
I was born in Mareeba, and I acknowledge from the bloodlines from the Rajri.
Yeah, beautiful, brother.
So, for my family, the Peckhams, yes, same family from Dubbo, New South Wales, Northern Territory, and us Peckhams here in Queensland.
Good, brother, good. Delhi footprint. What you want to yarn about, Trevor?
Oh, my brother, namesake. Mm. But, you know, you're a good-looking one.
Yeah, my brother.
I'm just a muscly, you know, and the other sort of stuff. You know? So when you're looking good in the mirror, I'm right on the street.
I hear you, my brother, and I'll take that as a deadly compliment.
We work together. That's how we get the TTs, you know?
Exactly, my brother. Yeah. Exactly.
My family, the real thing is when I rang up today, I just got to hear a few little stories on country.
Mm.
One was about a man named Sam Newman, and another man was named, Alan Jones, eh?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And he happened to be on there with himself, Uncle Stanley Grant, and, you know, he just really, really, both of these two men really just stamped it proudly on how unfortunate it is with their comments on division.
On division. See,
Yeah, I never heard them talk about how great they are moving forward and how good these things are today. All I heard about was, why did they take too much time? Why was it even put in place? What's the joke of all this third chambers and things about division? Nothing was about supporting about the value of acknowledging the first and original gardeners.
Yes.
The Nunji.
Yes.
The Bama.
It all seems to fall on deaf ears, that, doesn't it?
It's very sad that these men who are very listened to.
High-profile men.
Who were supposed to be showing the next generation of their grandchildren.
Yep.
To have a better head on their shoulders. And that you don't come from a dark age of 200-odd years ago where things weren't as great as they could have been. Today.
Exactly,
it's better,
brother. Exactly.
Than last week, you know? But here, I just wanted to acknowledge on national radio as another male of community that I don't appreciate you fellas not even acknowledging once about anything positive for the original people of this land.
Yep.
And I just want to acknowledge to all you family members who are standing up here today in the joy of the spirit, amen, God, for all we do today, that we get acknowledged and given back as it is all of this world who's been taken from.
Yeah.
Now, there's more than just the bummers of Australia who's got things stolen from them. These people also are asking for things that are stolen to be given back.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about this about a while ago, about 170 odd years ago. There's a lot of gold taken off the country up this way, especially around Goldsborough.
Mm-hmm.
Can we jump on the list and get that return too?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that will help with the equity for our people to then engage in this society of the world correctly.
Well, part of the payback is what you're saying, brother.
Well, just return it. Then we can talk about payback.
Yep.
And, you know, the lucky mum's not talking about payback because I'm sure he will get knocked. Someone will get knocked. You
know? Get slapped across the back of the head.
Well, there's a bit more in a knock than a slap, you know, because mum's quite cranky at the moment, especially this mother we live on.
Yeah, true, brother.
She's starting to tell everyone around the world, you knock it off, man. I put an earthquake here, I put a flood there, I put a waters over here. Yeah, what you going to do now, you know? So you got to go back to your nature. And you got to go back to your gardens. And those guys who were the original gardeners need to be the ones who give you the rules of how to get back onto track. That's what we do. And what we want to do is open arms, welcome you fellas back to learning on country. Learning the preservation of why this culture of this land is important. Why the way we do it, it gives us a religious from the culture. And our belief in the Creator, Spirit, God, as one as all, same.
Yes.
We already have all that established in our culture, in our way of life.
Exactly.
So we don't need to re-establish that, people. We just want you to come and see it for yourself so you can get back on track with the Spirit and with the truth of God.
Yep. Beautiful word, my brother.
That's what this land is about, my big bro.
Yep.
And the one thing about us people, we're not into burning flags and we're not into burning our deities and symbologies. We're into joy and love.
Yeah.
Because I promise you will enjoy it when you're out on countries and you will love it when you get home.
Sharing, caring people, brother.
That's called normal, my big bro.
Yes, it is.
But these two men that was on national television just don't even talk about positive joy things or anything that has got the love of something. They just always got a piercing. And you know what? I say thank you, man.
You know what? Yep.
Because you're still showing the
ignorance.
Head on the shoulders of who you are, the people of power, still got the same mindset.
Yeah, brother, things don't change and things don't change.
It's unfortunate. So I'd like people to ring in as well and chuck in their yarn about how people like such a people are taking advantage of talking more about division than they are talking about going forward.
And
now,
together.
Jones's problem, he's got a problem with the voice to Parliament because he signed our part. You're going to open up all this other different areas and you're going to open up all this. Well, guess what? You're going to get opened up, Alan. So sit back and put your legs up, boy.
Strong words, my brother. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, sure of it. I with the love family. Gore, Garo family.
Garo.
May the Spirit give us the guidance of all. Amen.
Thank you, Trevor Peckham. Too Delhi, my brother. Beautiful, yeah. Trevor Peckham having his say and talking about the conversation they had with two journos, and I wasn't impressed with their statement regarding recognising and acknowledging First Nation people of this country. Have you seen Yarnup Strong here? National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
There were a bunch of riders traveling on a train. They stopped at every bush town. They found out on the plane. They stepped out on the platform to a welcome from the folks. Drank beer with them in hotels, laughed at all their jokes. When they tried to explain the beauty of the written word, in every little town the children came from school, sang lullabies to them as the train would slowly pull down the track into the distance across the barren plain. They'd drink some more in silence on that journey, on that train. They'd...
That's the Riders on the Train, Broderick Smith, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor.
How are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm good, bro.
Good.
Oh, that was a really good call from Jinjin, the man, the uncle there.
Yes, exactly. And well, sad that black people aren't at the table regarding the conversation of the proposed sale of land.
Yeah, it's really hard for people to deal with it, and he seems like good help for the mob there, and we all got to be one, you know. I want to add on to that. It's something trying to keep things fresh and different. The big thing that's going to happen in Gordonvale is the planned taking water from the Mulgrave River for Cairns water supply.
Is that what they're doing?
Well, the council, you know, the council, Cairns City Council, spread out and amalgamated with Gordonvale. When the highway is finished, the highway they're building from basically Edmonton through to Gordonvale, when that's finished, the next big project, and I've heard the council got $100 million and wanted another $100 million that I think they got it from the state government, is to take the water from the Mulgrave River to supply Cairns water. And I heard you a couple of times on the show saying, yeah, the creek in Gordonvale. Well, it wasn't a creek once at the Gordonvale there by the Green
Flash River.
Sorry?
It was a flash river,
and the same cane farms all up it, and they're taking it, and the water's really low, and it's only up to your knee at the green patch down there. They used to swim race pools. But the point is, this is going to be a huge thing. It's looming. The next big project after the highway's finished, I guess they want that highway finished. There's going to be a lot of traffic doing whatever they're going to do to the... But there's been no community consultation on this either, and it just seems that local governments and mayors, and they've got too much power nowadays. It's not road rates and rubbish. This is a huge thing. The Mulgrave is a big river. All the water comes down from the Tableland through Goldsborough. I'm glad Trevor mentioned that. That's a really important place. And what they're going to do to this river and the fish stocks and everything, there is a plan B that I've never heard. You've heard of the South Edge Lake that is between Mareeba and Mount Maloy?
No, I haven't.
There's a huge lake up there on the Tableland.
I know which one you're talking about now. Yes, I do know.
And years ago, they actually built a road. They called it the Quade Road. After the big developer here, and then
controversial
road
that Quade Road was.
And I think the plan was that they could gravity feed water down from South Edge Lake, which would supply future development of the coastal. It could supply Cairns. But we don't know what they're going to do with the Mulgrave River, and this is a huge
thing. People are left in the dark, aren't they?
The only good thing I can say is that if it happens, they've built the big camping area, the green patch, there's a lot of room for protesters to turn up there one day. You hear what I've been saying, and the Mulgrave River is really under severe threat, severe threat for all the Bummer, the Dingy mob here, and that river goes up through Goldsborough, and it's had the gold rush and a lot of rubble and stuff. And we're concerned about the future of the Mulgrave River and what the Cairns plans are. There was always talk of threat of damming, or we don't know how they're going to take it, you know, within the dark. That's about it today, brother. That's a
big
thing.
Brother. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. That's Tony Gibbs there, and yes, talking about Green Patch, talking about Gordonvale, what's happening there, and extension of roads, and now tackling the water from the Mulgrave River to where the Green Patch is. There it is, you mob. Look, it's come to a time where Trendy Trev signs off for today's program. Deadly program here is National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416, 1 hour program. We've got about 4 minutes left on the program. Looks like actually got someone on the line. Someone, good morning.
Yep, brother, I'm right.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. Yes.
Yeah, free our checks. You get a voucher for $30. I think it's $25 from Coles and Kmart, brother. If anyone want to get the air check, brother, before Edward Snowden and Billy and Assange, there's a fellow called Christopher Boyce. You want to look at a good movie, The Falcon and the Stallman, based on them two. There was two actors, and you know, we think that the Great Britain got a lot to say, but so has America. And, you know, the extension of the plan gap for the price of a peppercorn. They got a lot of say, and CIA and all them kind of stuff involved because that's a strategic place out climbed up, spires on all the eye in the sky. And Brother Dole's trick in the book, you know, like as soon as, you know, Beakaloo, they got the go ahead to do what they want to do. But as soon as that happened, they took the dry tumor. You know, the dry tumor, they're allowed to have their growth. And I know at the time, their brother, one brother, they were yawning, and he said, well, that's what happened. I go after me. I got my hair up. He said, yeah, you know, I went to the important meeting on. I used to go to England for Sly Grove. He said, the bully minister let them come in with all of them. So he can go to the meeting. I thought he happened. I go after me. But when I look back, well, he was right. You know, Big Lou now and that brother there from Bundaberg was talking.
Yes.
Okay, brother, I'm finished there. Bye now, brother.
Thank you, my brother. There it is, you mob. It's time for sign-off for today's program. Back in the huts again on Monday, and that daily program number is 1-800-422-416. 24/7, you can text the brother 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Look, stay black, stay daily, stay strong.